Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Fried fam, today we have an episode that I have been waiting for. My friend, Dr. Jamie Raven, is a doctor of acupuncture, certified feng shui practitioner, and executive leader at Deepak Chopra's global wellness brand, an advisor and teacher in the health and well-being industry, and she has had the privilege of designing and programming luxury spas, studios, and experiences alongside the nation's top architects and wellness partners. After decades in wellness and integrative medicine, she has identified a gap in the systems and the wisdom most widely shared, the home. Jamie, welcome to Fried.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
I'm
so great to be with you.
I'm so happy to have you here. For those of you that don't know, Jamie and I went to the same school. We did our Chinese medicine, our initial degrees. Jamie then did a doctorate. I did not. I was out of the country when the doctorate became a possibility. So we went to school together 5 years ago. That was 5 years ago, not 25, right? Something like that, right? Okay, great. 20.
Yeah, like a few, 20. Just a few.
It was like three or something, or 20 or three, whichever. Doesn't matter.
And yeah, like 20, 25 years or
two. Or two or something. It's fine. And ever since I've known Jamie, she's had this like flair for vintage things, really interesting and fun personal style. And so this has been part of like design and fashion and style. And this has been part of you for as long as I've known you. This is not, you didn't decide last week that this was important. This is a lifelong love affair for you.
Yeah. I mean, I would say self-expression has always been like a core pillar of who I am. And then the method, the path of using like feng shui and home design expression in your home is something that's evolved over the years.
Yeah. And I've always loved it, and I'm loving it now. And we spoke recently and you said something about the feng shui and something about, we were just talking and I stopped and I said, Jamie, I've been wanting to talk about this in the podcast for a long time. Because we do talk about and have spoken about on the podcast research studies that tell us that having beauty around us in our environments can reduce our tendency to burnout. Like, we know that. There are plenty of research studies that tell us that loving your environment matters. And so I wanted to bring you in because I want to talk about A, why it matters, and B, what are the small things that people can do after listening to a podcast episode without having a full bagua put over their house and like analyzed, yeah, right? Exactly. Like, what are the small things that we can do starting during this episode to improve the energy flow in our house, that improves the energy flow in our life, that makes us more resilient and all of the things? So my first question is, how important do you think this actually is? Which I know is a silly question, but maybe why do you think it's that important?
Yeah, it's not a silly question. There are no silly questions. And I'm sure there are people out there asking it. So I'm glad you are starting with that. The home, the way I see the home is it is a container for our sensory inputs, And I think we can all agree that the inputs to our sense organs affect us tremendously. Don't know that there's anyone out there that would disagree with that. And there's so much in this world, so much interaction with the environment that we can't control. We go out into the world, we go out into, you know, a supermarket or, you know, anywhere that's like crowded or loud or like whatever it may be that isn't what we need in that moment. And then we come into our homes, and in our homes, we have the most control over what those sensory inputs are. So if we can modify them, and yes, that's in accordance with feng shui is what I share, but even if we're just intentional about what the sensory inputs are that are coming our way in our home, then we can improve our well-being, our state of mind. You know, it leads to like long-term behavioral changes. So I think it's just wildly important because you have agency in this. And it can be as simple, like you asked, and maybe this is getting to a second question, so I'm sorry, but you want to know the simple things that people can do right away. And I think it just starts with the awareness. So, you know, right now I'm sitting at my desk in my home office speaking with you, right? But this can be when you're sitting on your couch, when you're sitting, when you're laying in your bed, when you're cooking at the stove. I want you to look around and simply when you're in, when you're sitting or laying or standing in this position that you are probably in every day, what are you looking at? What are you hearing? What are you smelling? You know, what are you experiencing in that moment? And some, I think it just starts with awareness because people don't even realize, oh my God, I am intending, you know, peace and tranquility in my life. And like, there's a, you know, broken lamp in front of me and the strobe lights are, you know, bothering me and not realizing that that's adding to, you know, their current experience and how their body is feeling and how overwhelmed and burnt out they may be feeling.
This is so important to me because for years with my work with resentment, and people that have done the resentment journal, I'm always telling people, like, if you're annoyed every single day that your eggs are sticking to your pan, get a new, like, it's time to get a new pan. Don't allow that energy leak to start your day. If your knives aren't sharp enough and every time you slice a tomato, you're mad because you squish the tomato down and the seeds go all over the cutting board, yes, and then it's hard to clean them up, and sharpen the knives. Like, we talk a lot about fixing the small irritations. We're not even getting to beauty yet. We're talking just like fixing the small irritations around you because, and I didn't use the word sensory input before, but that's what we've been talking about this whole time. So I loved that you said that. Like, your home is just a series of sensory inputs and you decide what those sensory inputs are. So where are the things in your world that are causing you to lose energy because you're thinking about them, because you're annoyed by them, because they're constantly in your, because that could be easily solved? For instance, in my house right now, they have, there's a, you know, those little libraries that, that some neighborhoods have, where people just exchange books.
Oh, and yeah, yeah.
So my neighborhood, my neighborhood has a little library, and I have about 6 books that I need to bring down to the little library, and they're in 2 different piles in 2 different areas of my house. Like, I need to just get the books into a bag and bring them down to the little library to get them out of my space. Another thing I talk about a lot is the desk pad that I have on my desk. Because I'm podcasting, I don't want to be drinking tea and then putting my mug down because everybody can hear it and it's awful. I didn't know that when I first put my desk in, but I put my cup down one day and I thought, oh, can't do that anymore. And then I was stressed out for the next hour trying not to move anything and not drinking any water because I was afraid to make noise and into the microphone and make a crappy podcast episode. So I bought a $12.99 desk pad from Amazon. And now my mug's lit, not even a coaster, because then I have to find the coaster and I have to make sure it's in the right spot. Not like a whole desk pad. The small things matter. The sensory input matters. You might be renting, so you might not be in a position to be able to paint your walls, but the color that you see, the back of the wall that my desk is built into, is sunshine yellow. Right. These are the things that I want you to be thinking about. When you start noticing your space, think about your entire, but one place at a time. I'm getting too excited. Think about your home as a space that's sensory input.
Yeah, a container for sensory inputs. That's all you can think of it at. And you can start with it. The simple things. And honestly, Kate, you mentioned something, which is like, we're not even getting to the beauty part. We're just starting with the, you know, it's like, there's two things. There's the removal of that, which is irritating you and adding to your stress and overwhelm. Mm-hmm. The decluttering, the switching things out, the fixing, the mending, all of that. And then there's also the intentional. Okay, now how do I bring in the things that, like you said, the sunshine yellow or whatever it may be for each person. And it doesn't need to be a complete overhaul. Like, oh, I've always wanted to have a beautiful, like, built-in wall water feature in my home. Like, it could be a tabletop, you know, fountain. It can be something as simple as a visual cue that you see. And every time you see it, it reminds you of what you're bringing into your life.
So when you are assessing a space, what are some of the red flag things that you see where you think, like, you see something and right away you're like, oh, that's going to be an energy drain. Like, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. The biggest thing is the areas that accumulate things. You know, I mean, I could say the things that are broken, but honestly, it's actually more the accumulation, and which is actually great because the accumulation is something that's a lot easier for people to fix. Sometimes it's also a lot cheaper for people to fix because it's really just the removal of that which has accumulated. And it's also such a psychological exercise, and it's also a clarifying exercise so you can get to what you, it's not just about moving the energy in the room by clearing the clutter, because energy stagnates around areas where there is an excessive amount of things and things are not organized, right? It's not just about the free flow of energy. It's also about you go through that pile of whatever it is that is accumulated. And while you're doing it, you're saying to yourself, is this me anymore? Do I need this in my life? Is this in alignment with where I'm going? And then you start letting go of things. And the more the process of letting go, then it kind of like opens up portals for people because now they've like created space for new possibility. So yes, when I'm going through, I'm laser focused on the areas in the home where things have accumulated. And oftentimes it is in those areas. And yes, I do use the Bagua, which is areas of your life that align with different areas in your home based on compass directions. But it's also as simple as if in your office, you've accumulated things all over your desk or your bookshelves are, you know, not organized and things are like, you know, they're overflowing off of them. Like then that kind of in a almost a diagnostic way is what's happening with you in your, you know, your career or your work area or what you're, you know, what you're spending your time and that you're creating in the world in that way. Same thing if, you know, you have things everywhere in the bedroom or under the bed or in the closets. I mean, those things have meaning. You can also, something you can do is start to ask yourself, where in my home have I accumulated things? And what is that saying about where I am right now? But it's not to make you feel judgmental of yourself at all. Start with the simple things. Right. The process is empowering, should be empowering.
Yeah. One of the things that piles up for me always is like papers that I'm not sure what to do with right away. And so it's like a notice from the health insurance company that we have a $23.42 copay to make somewhere. And probably we've already paid it because we usually pay things as we go. So we probably don't even have this bill. It probably got sent out automatically at a time before. I mean, it doesn't even make sense. But those are the things that tend to pile up for me. And I find myself like getting to the point sometimes where instead of sorting through it, I just ADHD it and I like toss the whole doom pile. I'm just like, well, I'm just going to throw out the whole thing because I can't manage this anymore. And so for people with ADHD, having piles places is, I mean, it's a like a known issue. We call them doom piles. Yeah. They're piles of our doom of things that we just, And one of the issues that why doom piles exist in my life is because, and this is a good thing from a Chinese medicine perspective, it allowed me to understand Chinese medicine so much easier than some other people, but I can categorize that piece of paper in like four different areas. So because I haven't decided which area it goes in, because mm-hmm. I kind of disagree with myself no matter where I put it, I don't know what to do with it. And then I get overwhelmed and throw it out. So if you have somebody that is like me and has a hard time making that decision, like I hired somebody to come into my computer and help me make decisions about where things belonged because I could not actually do it myself. Now that I have the system, I use it fairly well. And then every 6 months or so, she comes into my computer and cleans up again because I've made a mess somewhere. But I had to have somebody else do that with me. It wasn't something I could do by myself. Is that something that you find a lot?
Yeah. And I think every person I work with is unique, right? So if I find somebody that there is a contributing factor, such as ADHD, and they're explaining that to me through the process, I'm working with them to create, like, okay, what's the best system for yourself? So yes, it could be somebody helping. I have a dear friend that I've made recently who's actually an ADHD coach. So in that case, I might say, this is exactly what I would say. I suggest you could work with so-and-so to get to the root and work through the system. However, because I know that that doom pile is staring you in the face every day, let's get a box, like a pretty beautiful box that you can put your doom pile in. So at least you're not looking at the visual clutter that which you may be experiencing, right? Instead, you're now looking at a pretty box. And yes, inside the box, maybe a doom pile, but then now you don't have to be, you don't have to see that. You don't have to have that visual cue every day, but you know that you're going to have a solution for that. And you're going to work with someone who can help you, you know, with a system and, you know, your particular situation that you're dealing with.
I love that. I love a pretty box. And for me in particular, and for those of you out there who also have these tendencies, you might appreciate this. I have had boxes in the past, and what I find is that if they're not really easy to open or really easy to get something in, I don't use them. So 100%. I have had to I've taken an X-Acto knife and made slots in the sides of a box so that I could slide papers in there, because if I had to actually take the cover off the box, I was not going to do it.
Oh my God, I love that so much, because actually I recommend on desks, because it sounds a lot like the type of paper they have. And I don't see this many around, but I have one on my desk, is they have these, I guess they're like for mail. They are for mail and desk paper, but I'm going to try to explain this verbally as much as possible. But there's a cover to it. There's like a solid, like a holder for the size of like an 8.5 by 11 paper. And then on top of it, there's just, you know, a cover to it, right? But there is that open slot, exactly what you're talking about. So on top of it, you can put a candle, you can put, you know, whatever, a book that you love, but the papers are still underneath and you can still easily put them in. Efficiency is extremely important. So we don't need to spend that much time on this particular item, but I love that you said that because it is not just about shoving it away. It's about the system and an easeful process for yourself.
So whenever you're listening to this podcast or any other advice anywhere, the ease of system is something that I want you to think about anyway, whether we're talking about things in your home or whether we're talking about a burnout recovery trick or we're talking about anything else. If the thing that we're saying doesn't suit you in some way, see if either drop it, just let it go, or see if there's a way that you can improve on it so that it does work for you. Like a box is not going to work for me. I know that about myself. So I have to have a slit. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Move on. But just this is a really good example of how you can continuously adjust things to make sure they work in your life. Like I'm never going to be the person that folds things in such a way so that they fit like facing up in a drawer. Like it's not going to happen. I'm not going to do it. I know I'm not going to do it. I rolled my sheets into a ball and threw them in my closet. Like never going to happen.
I'm never going to be the person that rolls her underwear and puts it in her underwear drawer. Like I'm never going to be that. Never going to be that much Marie Kondo. Like,
no. Never. It's not going to happen and I'm not going to feel bad about it. So if you're in that space and you're like, "Well, I can't use that because well, let's see if there's a twist on it that makes it easier for you." So I love the idea of putting doom piles in some sort of container so that we're still focused on creating intentional space and creating some sort of beauty.
Yeah. I mean, I'll give you an example of my own home. And it's, I love books. Okay. I'm definitely an organized maximalist in general, but when it comes to books, I am an extreme maximalist. So I've had to come up with a solution for myself. And again, this is why this is a very personalized process. And so I have a bookcase that has doors, like clear doors that close, so that when I like curate and organize my bookshelf, I can have as many books as I want, but it's like enclosed in something. And for myself, that feels better than, you know, just books everywhere. Like that is my system. And so I love a door. It keeps them less dusty as well, which is less work for me. It's more efficient anyway. So it's just, again, it's always like finding what's your thing? And when I work with my clients, it's okay. Oh, I always do this. Like, you know, exactly how you just brought the issue of the doom piles to me. It's make sure you do speak and never feel shame about the things that you need help and support with. And then finding the personalized solutions for that.
I love it. So red flag is areas that things accumulate. That's a big red flag. Is there another that you notice quickly?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And that's things that have been neglected or things that are broken need to be fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, things that one example is I had a client that had a broken massage chair that was sitting in her hallway. And I said, and she's, "Oh, we have a new one. Like it's in the other room. Like this just needs to be removed." And I said, "How long has that been sitting there?" And she's like, "Probably about 2 years." So that means that every day she was walking by this chair in the hallway being like, I got to do that. And of course, again, no one's saying it's easy, but what I am trying to encourage is if you remove that, see how you feel afterwards, right? So she did. And she was like, it was so empowering to her to now walk through the hallway and simply just not see the broken massage chair. So it's simple things like that, you know, just making that change. So that, and of course, it's the same thing with like, and even more so with like pipes in the home or electrical systems, doorknobs, things that are just not working that you've been meaning to get around to. Again, no shame, but if you can prioritize that, you will feel a difference after that project is complete.
Can we talk about doorknobs a little bit more?
Yes, we can talk about doorknobs.
Because you said doorknobs and my brain went on a whole nother tangent. And what I'm thinking about is the ease of entering and exiting your homes and your room.
Yes. I love how your mind works, Kate, because you get it intuitively so much. You know, and having the fact that you studied Chinese medicine and you know what qi is, and I'm sure your listeners by this point know what qi is. You know, qi is the energy that flows through our lives. You know, in some systems they call it prana, you know, and the front door specifically is considered the mouth of qi in the home. It is where the fresh energy enters your home. It is where you welcome your friends and your family. And so the ease for which you enter your home is something extremely important. That's why like doorknobs working, especially in your front door. And the metaphor continues throughout your home into all of your rooms, but especially the front door. And it goes beyond just the doorknob. It is just, what is the experience of entering your home? How easy is it for them to find the front door? What is the path in which they, you know, they take to get to the front door? What do they see when they enter? What do, you know, what's welcoming them? If the first thing they see, and this is just another tip, if the first thing you see when you're entering is a mirror, it's actually advised that you would remove that mirror from the direct entry into the home, because if you think of the fact that the front door is the mouth of qi and the energy is that pure, you know, fresh energy is flowing into the front door, if the first thing the energy sees is a mirror, it's going to be reflected back out the front door. But also, again, on a practical level, because I always like to bring it back to the practical, if the first thing your guests or you are seeing when they enter is yourself, it can be a little jarring. So it's not like don't have a mirror in your foyer. It's just don't have it like directly facing the front door when you first enter.
I like that.
So yes, doorknobs and doorways are extremely metaphorically and intentionally important in the home.
When we first bought our house, we live in a townhouse, and when we first bought it, it was brand new. And because it's brand new and, you know, they build things so fast these days and they don't pay attention, I don't know what it's called, but you know, like the thing that's on the door frame, the little metal piece that the other thing goes into, that the little door thing goes into to close, you know?
Uh-huh. I don't know the name of it either.
Yeah. Where the line goes, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't lined up properly. So every time we were entering or leaving the home, we either had to pull really hard on the door or like push or lift or like try do something so that it would move smoothly. And it was making me nuts. And one day I pulled the thing, I unscrewed the thing from the wall. I adjusted it. I screwed new holes. I made sure it fit because it was making me so crazy that getting in and out of my house was a constant difficulty. And I just didn't like the way that felt. And my husband was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm fixing the door." It was like, okay, crazy. Like, I'm going to go golf. I was like, fine. I'm going to fix the
and
door.
How did you feel afterward?
Oh, every time I open the door, I still think about it. This is one of the things that has come up on the podcast. I've told this story a lot. This particular client of mine has told the story herself on the podcast as well. She was going to bed every single night. And she had, I think we talked about this, a square nightstand.
Right.
And it was a little bit higher than her bed, like just a little bit higher than her bed. And every single night she was going to bed worrying that she was going to hit her eye on the nightstand as she laid down. The first thing I asked her to do as her burnout coach was buy a round nightstand that was slightly lower than her bed. To eliminate, I don't want you to be entering fight or flight as you are laying down because of a cheap wooden table. What are we doing to ourselves? What are we doing to ourselves? These are the things. So this is not necessarily a thing that's...
I just want to say one thing to you, Kate.
Yeah.
Like, that just struck me. Is like, because we both got into, we went different ways, but we both got, you know, met each other. We got into, you know, this world of healing, you know, to help people, to, you know, be a healer for people. And now we are just all we are doing is allowing people to see, you know, to have awareness for these things, and just, and also just giving them the permission. So you being like that, that channel, that the, you know, the light on the situation, it's like that had been happening for so long. And all we're doing as these healers in a way, and, you know, coaches or consultants, whatever, you know, it is respectively we're doing, is we're just like, hey, take a look at that. How is that affecting you? And it's about empowering them to like make these small changes. So I just love that story so much.
I love that story so much too. And it really think this would be number three red flag for me personally. And I don't know if it's number three on your list, but right now we have areas that things are accumulating, things that are neglected and broken. The number three red flag for me would be any place that makes you feel unsafe.
Yes, I would say areas that make you feel unsafe or uneasy, or, mm-hmm. you know, paying attention to your feelings. Yeah. I would just lump them into a bucket there yeah. together. Because there's yep. definitely like unsafe would probably take, of course, priority in that bucket. But there are also just, I'll just give you an example of something that's not unsafe, like physically, you know, like what you just mentioned that makes this particular, had made your particular client feel unsafe. But I had worked with someone that they had kept their bed from a previous marriage. That let's just say that the marriage did not go the way that she had expected. And there's a lot of unresolved feelings there, right? And so that bed maybe didn't make her feel like physically unsafe, but there was an unsafe feeling associated with that particular bed that was affecting her sleep, which then was affecting her, you know, vitality throughout the day. So that emotional attachment to that particular item in the home is also something I pay attention to. So I also ask them like, well, how do you feel in particular rooms? Are there particular rooms that you do not like going into as much? Tell me about it. You know, so this, you know, this, I might not go into a room and know that someone feels unsafe, from their bed, but I might see, oh, that looks like that's a sharp corner that you could actually hit your head on. So it's both the things of actual physical potential yeah. danger, but also emotional. It does actually remind me of something very interesting from your story that I'm going to throw in there. There is something in feng shui called poison daggers. I think the term is really funny, but there are items in your home that are like really sharp, that have like sharp corners or edges. It could be like even a plant with really like sharp leaves that are facing towards you. And they call that like poison daggers because the like sha energy, which is like the more of the like unwanted energy, is coming towards you. So, I mean, definitely your client was experiencing that when she was going to sleep, but that's another thing to try to be aware of. And something I look for, is there anything that like energetically is, you know, jarring to the energy of the person as they're inhabiting the space.
And there are research studies done about the activation of your fight or flight system based on whether lines are straight or curved. And curved lines yeah. that don't have sharp points are well known to induce more feelings of safety in our bodies. They interrupt our systems much, much less. So slightly rounded corners and round mirrors and things in the house makes a huge, huge difference. Even if feng shui has said this for a long time, and we have studies that now show that, and we have functional MRIs that say when there's a lot of sharp things in a space, your amygdala is more activated. Your fight or flight is more activated because there's a lot of sharpness in your space, which is just like, I love more than anything when current science proves Chinese medicine right.
I love it. I love it. Yes. When it like gets up to speed, it's like, oh, and also just like things like meditation's helpful. You're like, oh my God, the science shows it, you know, which is amazing. Because when you experience things and you think about them logically and practically, you know, you can, you know, come to the belief yourself, right? But it is a lot, it is very helpful when the science then confirms what you know in your heart.
Yeah, it's been so great for me to dig more into that side of things and just constantly look back and be like, well, yeah, Chinese medicine says that. Well, there was somebody wrote an article on LinkedIn about how your ability to hold a paradox is like paramount for burnout recovery. And I was like, Tai Chi, like, yeah, yes.
You're like, yeah, yeah, of course.
We've been saying that for 5,000 years.
Like, we in the industry have been saying that for years. Yeah, I mean, that's why I like to, like, also always bring it back to the practical, too, so people can understand. So, like, you can say, oh, the accumulation of things in your home creates stagnation of energy. And maybe someone will understand that, right? But you can also say the accumulation of things, that's why dust and, you know, and dirt, like, accumulate more on piles and items of things. And so that is just not, the air is not even clean in areas where you can't, the, you know, the dust accumulates and you can't clean as well. You know, like, that's just an example, yeah. But it's like, oh,
yeah,
that makes sense. Like, and so I always like to give the practical to it as well.
So we've done 4 red flags. Are we ready to move on to green flags?
I think green flags, it's time. Yes.
Let's do it. All right. So when you walk into a house, what is something that you notice right away that you're like, oh, this is useful?
Yeah. So when I walk into a house, the way that I do it, so let's see if we can come up with, you know, the exact, you know, I love your list. Method. So let's come up with the list. When I walk into a house, the first thing I'm looking at is the welcoming nature of the foyer. And even if there's not a foyer, it's like metaphorical foyer or the, you know, whatever is acting as a welcome to your home. So I love when the first thing I see is something that is, you know, happy, it makes you feel good, you know, it's maybe flowers on a dresser, it is a piece of art that is, you know, welcoming you in. I love if there's a place for things, like, so definitely the expression of self and the let me see the best way to say this. So the energy of a space, like the vibe. That's the best way to say it. Sorry. Let's say that. The vibe of the space, that it's matching the intention of what either the room or the client wants in that space. So when I say the room always wants something itself, right? A bedroom wants to have relaxation, rest, romance, okay? A foyer area always wants to have a welcoming, inviting vibe. An office, for the most part, always wants to create and be productive. And of course, most of the time that aligns with what the client wants, but it's really what the client wants. So I always consider that as well. So let's just say the vibe of the space overall, and whether that is, you know, using the 5 senses, whether that is in alignment with its intention. Okay, that's the first thing I notice, and it includes all the 5 senses, and, you know, that's the first thing I notice. The second thing that I notice is the flow in the home. Okay, so it's like vibe. So now we're creating the list, vibe, then flow. So how easily can I, you know, me acting as chi itself, acting as energy itself, how easily can I make my way through the home? Are there areas where I get stuck as I try to walk through? Are there, you know, areas where it's an odd pathway or movement? I was just in a home on Sunday. Beautiful layout of the home. There is this one bathroom that was like built, I guess for function by a previous owner, off of the kitchen. Okay, mind you, the door to the bathroom opened into the kitchen, and it was made in like a corner, like literally like a corner, right? So all of the energy could get trapped in this little corner, and it's bathroom energy that's getting trapped, you know? So I definitely noticed that straight away, gave them some remedies of how they can do regular space clearings and everything like that. But vibe and then flow of energy how the energy flows is the second thing that I notice. And then I'm also, of course, that's the green flag. So I know I'm saying things that might be red flags there that I just said now, but
we're still on the right path.
Yeah. And then I'm always looking for opportunities. Now I use the Bagua for areas where they can, specifically set intentions for the areas of their lives. So like, again, their money and prosperity corner, how can they enliven it with symbolism, art, everything like that. But again, I also consider you don't even need the Bagua, the different areas and how you're using those areas and the intentions that you're thinking about when you're in those areas. So if the bedroom is rest, relaxation, romance, this is how can I add to it more intentional art or symbolism? And so the things that you can do, it's like easier for me to actually tell you like per room to give you some examples, but in the bedroom, you want to have like two nightstands on the side. This is an example for more like romance and intimacy and equality in the relationship. So an example of this is like next to the bed, you want to have two nightstands of equal size, height, and you want to have an equal path to the bed. You know, sometimes you see a bed up against a corner and only one person can actually get to their side of the bed. You want to have that be equal as well on either sides. You can add pairs of items to the bedroom. You can add a beautiful piece of art that symbolizes romance or intimacy or connection or whatever that looks like for you. And it doesn't need to be like cliche, like love, live, laugh, love. Like it doesn't have to be like that. It can be like an abstract painting. It can be in colors, you know, it can be, you know, reds or pinks, if that's what it means to you, you know? So that is the real, so I'm noticing vibe, I'm noticing flow, and then I'm noticing opportunities for intentional design. I'd say like those are the real three things that I'm noticing. The three green flags. I love that.
So I'm now thinking about like problematic home setups in general. Right. So because I live in a townhouse, the entrance is, this is the only part of the house that I don't like. Mm-hmm. Because you walk into a townhouse and you have a big hallway in front of you to your right, and to your left, you have stairs. Right.
And what do you have to the front of you?
In front of you is a big hallway.
Okay. So straight ahead, there's a hallway. Okay. And then to the right of you is?
To the left is stairs. To the right is a wall.
A wall. Okay. That's great. Because now I'm going to tell you what's on that wall to the right.
What's on that wall is a system for hanging coats and things.
Beautiful. That's great. Because then that's welcoming me in.
A system that I love. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's the first thing I say, right? And then I would say, again, I use the term problematic. Like, I mean, when you use the term problematic, I use the term problematic. I'm just like, it's an opportunity for us to use a remedy, right? So
that's very corporate.
Energy is just traveling. Yes, it is. I do come from that. Like, let's turn that challenge into an opportunity. I do come from a corporate, unfortunately, the past few years. But I think it also has to do with that idea that energy is not created or destroyed. It's like, there's not good or bad. There's not right or wrong. So I think I also kind of have that stuck in my head that everything that may seem like a challenge is really on the other side of it is an opportunity. So corporate and that belief system. But if you're saying that you come in straight away, you're just seeing a long hallway, what you would probably want to do is hang something like so that it can stop the energy from just like going straight down the hallway and not being distributed. So you'll see like they'll have like those feng shui crystal balls. And again, these I will only use something that I think is like pretty and goes along with what the client wants. I'm not going to use like foo dogs or traditional things. I have respect and reverence for the traditional, but it's really about the client. But there are a few things like the feng shui crystal balls, because I think that they're beautiful, that I will often recommend. Also a Bagua mirror, which I can explain next if you want. But in this case, yeah, I would hang something so that it slows down the energy as it goes and keeps it, you know, flowing in it doesn't just like rush down the hallway when you first enter, basically. That's an example of a remedy of what you can do when you first walk in and see the hallway. And then, of course, ask yourself what's at the end of the hallway. You can also add mirrors on the wall. Again, I'm not looking at your exact home right now, but if it's a really long corridor and there is an opportunity to put mirrors on one side, so it also like a series of mirrors on one side that are beautiful, that you love, it can also kind of slow down that energy down the hallway. It's an example. And I did mention a Bagua mirror, so I'll explain what that is. It's just a small mirror. You probably have seen it. It's like octagonal. Octagonal? I don't know. It's an octagon. And there's a mirror in the middle. And so you use it when you feel like that, the like poison arrows or sha chi, which is like that negative unwanted chi, is coming to a particular area. You can use that mirror to actually bounce off the energy intentionally. So like if you live, for instance, on like a really busy street and you're at the end of the street, like it's kind of like a cul-de-sac or a dead end and all the energy is flowing towards your house, you might see some instances where someone will have like a Bagua mirror over the entrance of their home. And again, it just like makes common sense to me. Like I know it may not make sense to anybody else, but all that traffic, all that energy going down, it's like hitting your home. So put something above your house to reflect it intentionally, even just seeing the intention of that. There's some solace in that.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talk about a lot here is after we talk about getting a new pan and sharpening your knives, we also talk a lot about getting mugs that you love so that when you're enjoying your morning coffee or tea or whatever it is you're drinking, you like the way your hand fits in the handle and all of that. We talk about changing the blankets on your couch from ones that you bought only because they're beautiful to ones that are beautiful and not scratchy, for instance, you know, like things. So we talk a lot about things like that. Are there item-based shifts that you would make in a space like that?
Yes. And there's a few tools that you have. The first is, it's not like first, there's no particular order to this at all, but the first I'm going to talk about is color. The psychology of color is extremely helpful, you know? So there is understanding like the traditional psychology of color and what colors mean, but more important than anything else, This whole process that you're talking about is a self-discovery process, because it's asking yourself like what you love and what works for you. But a lot of people, that can be overwhelming. So I love to start with, here is what is typical, you know, here is what the psychology shows for these different colors, and not just the psychology industry, but also in Chinese medicine and the five elements, these are what these colors mean. Even the chakra systems, whatever it may be, this is what these colors mean. Now, how do you feel about those colors? And then if there are certain colors that make them feel like what it is that they're wanting to bring into their life, color is an amazing tool. Okay. The second thing is, and again, no particular order, is nature. And we know in Chinese medicine, the five elements. So to simplify it for people that don't understand the five elements, because there are five elements, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, each one of them brings with them different characteristics and intentions associated with that. For example, wood is represented by plants in your home. Think about like forests and trees and, you know, things that are growing. They represent new life, new possibility, creation, motivation, you know, productivity even, because, you know, the growth of a like a flourishing forest. So if you bring plants into your home, they are now bringing in that energy. But again, if you know nothing about the five elements, most of the time people have an affinity for nature. So bringing plants into your home, it brings with it that elevated vibration, right? That and even just the feel good energy, as well as all the science behind what plants can do in your space. Sorry, Lou, you look like you want to say something.
I have a question. Plants versus cut flowers.
Plants are always, again, what do you love? Because I go regularly to Trader Joe's every week and I get flowers for my home because they make me feel great. But I also have plants. In feng shui, living things, moving things are the best. So plants are always alive. So that is, you know, advantageous. Pets are really great in the home because they are living beings that are moving around all the time. So, and then things that move, even like wind chimes, like just movement in general and living energy is always, that's a definite green flag. Let's say that. So we have color as a tool. We have nature as a tool. And nature, again, mm-hmm. if you look at all the five elements, I can explain, like, there's real simple ways. So like there's the plants, right? Then the fire, that's simply sunlight. You can, yes, candles, sure, and fireplaces as well. But just even opening your windows, like allowing the fresh air, if you have the ability to do that in your home, bringing in the sunlight into your home, okay? And then you get to earth, which is really just like rocks, crystals, sure, but it's also like stone, anything that's like made of earth or earth tones. And that makes sense that that's going to make you feel more grounded, you know? So, and then you have metal in Chinese medicine. Everybody's got metal in their home with their appliances, so it's not so hard to bring in metal. And then water, which is like, yes, of course, you can have, like I said, that water fountain that's built into your home, or you can just simply have like a tabletop water thing, a water feature, or just blues in your home. You know, if you love the ocean, you can have the sounds of the ocean. Again, just thinking about nature and what in nature you resonate with and your affinity and bringing that into your home, that is going to balance and create well-being in your space. So color, nature, as well as we've talked about how it's a container for sensory input. So five sensory design as well. So that includes like aromatherapy. So, you know, what does your home smell like? What do you want your home to smell like? You know, like you talked about touch. How do you want it to feel? What are like the soft pillows? But you also may want a smoother desk, you know, that you feel protected in behind a large, smooth desk. So, you know, you may want the soft, which brings like the whole idea of like yin and yang, activity and rest. So like maybe when you're curled up on your sofa, you're like, I really want that like soft pillow that just makes me feel like calm and calms my nervous system. But when I'm doing a podcast, when I'm talking to the world and, you know, I'm activated, maybe I want a little bit more of that yang energy around. So I want to have a little bit more of that, like, you know, hardness around me, you know? So, yeah,
that bright yellow wall.
That is exactly what that is. That activates you. If you wanted to like be in your bedroom, you would not have the same bright yellow wall. And if you did, you might have some issues sleeping. I mean, I might say that. And so then the next thing, so we've got color, we've got nature, we've got the five senses in design. And I don't want to not talk about taste, because everyone's like, how does taste manifest in design? And I think it's just your intentionality of what you're tasting and eating. So like the tea at your desk, like you were explaining, that can be a part of the way you've designed your experience of your space. So think of it like that. And then the next thing is what you were saying, which is like symbology. And like not just symbology, but it's like words and images and affirmations that you can use for what you're creating in your life. And so like I am using a mug right now that is a Mr. Rogers mug, because I love, he's my guru. He's the only guru that I really have, because I don't really believe totally in gurus. But Mr. Rogers, if there ever was a guru, is mine. And on the mug is like all of Mr. Rogers' like best quotes and sayings. And when I see that, it has an effect on me. So that's the next thing. So I think those are some examples of how you can be like intentional with your design. And so when you're, so just to say a little bit more, sorry, about the symbology. So when you're choosing art for your walls or what you're looking at, really think about what it is that you want to feel, create, have more, be more in your life, and see if that aligns with what's on your walls. So behind me, for example, Kate, you talked about the yellow wall. Behind me, when I'm on my meetings, I have a image of a home. And I found it's vintage. You already spoke about my flair for all things vintage. But it's just a beautiful home. It looks like a San Francisco home. And it just reminds me of how much I am passionate about the home as the missing piece in the holistic wellness puzzle. So whenever I see that, it makes me feel like aligned with my purpose.
I love that so much.
Sorry, I think I just went off there.
All right, folks, we're going to do a quick... No, those are all super important things, and I'm glad to have as many of your thoughts as we can fit into an hour.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we're doing a recap. And then I'm going to ask Jamie where you guys can find her, where you should follow her, and all of those good things so that you don't miss out on all of her knowledge, because I learned a lot today, and I loved having this convo. So first things first, we have some red flags in the home. Areas of accumulation, things that might be neglected or broken, areas that don't feel good to you or are unused because you don't like the way they feel, and something that's known as poison daggers, where we have sharp corners, hard edges, leaves, sharp leaves pointing at you, etc. Red flags, not to say we have to judge it, just to say those are things we could look out for and things that we can adjust. A lot of these fairly easy to adjust and don't require actually a lot of money, maybe a little bit of time and attention, but this is pretty simple. Green flags are vibe, flow, and opportunities for intentional design, which I love this idea of just like, hey, I'm going to just do this on purpose. This actually really matters to me, and I'm going to make my home better on purpose so that I feel better, so that I can be healthier. I love it. And things to think about. Color, nature, sensory design, taste, and symbology. And you also mentioned movement, which I loved. I want to touch on the aromatherapy just for 1 second. And I'm not paid to do this, you guys. But I just got a candle from Pacha Soap Company, P-A-C-H-A. I swear I'm not getting paid to say this. From Pacha Soap Company. It's called, the name of the candle is The Woods. And I just then bought them for everyone in my family. And when I was on there, I ordered some whipped exfoliant for the shower in a golden chai scent. And let me tell you, I don't even know how to explain to you how wonderful it is. So things like that, like aromatherapy, things like that are really important to me and something we really focus on a lot in my house. Like we really intentionally do that. So that's a company that we use regularly. So we love them. Jamie.
Yes.
Your passion for this and your ability to show up for people in this way and see these connections and use the background of Chinese medicine to understand how this influences people's health, et cetera, long term, is just like one of my favorite combinations that can happen within a human. And I'm so grateful to know you. So thank you for coming and sharing with us. There are people out there that are like, I needed to follow her starting yesterday. How do people find you? Where should they find you? Where should they look?
Sure. The best place to find me is on Instagram. My handle is Dr. Jamie Rabin, DrJaimeRabin. So yeah, Dr. Jamie Rabin. And I do have a website as well, illuministaliving.com. That's illuminista, living.com. And those are the two best places to find me.
Fried fam, after this episode, I already know that there are some things you are thinking about in your home, like me with my piles of books that need to go to the little library. You might have a bag of clothes in the trunk of your car getting ready to go to Goodwill. Whatever it happens to be, whatever thing that you are thinking about, I want you to give yourself permission to get that thing done now and then see how you feel and then try to do the next thing. I have found personally that sometimes addressing this first makes my burnout recovery choices later a little bit easier because my house is supporting me. So I had to make some changes in my house before I was able to, for instance, focus on a diet, right? Like I had to do that first. So if you have been struggling to make progress and you're not sure how to move forward, this might be the way you move forward. Focus on your house first. Don't worry about your patterns of behavior just yet. Don't worry about fixing all the woes of the world. Maybe just paint your bedroom and get those books out of the way, or put them in a cabinet that closes and get those doom piles and boxes. Maybe start with these things and let that trickle into the rest. I adore you. I'm so glad you're here. And I'm so grateful, Fried Fam, that you continue to choose yourself on your road to burnout recovery. Cheers to your healing. See you next time.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.